Pesachim Daf Tzadi Aleph. We are starting with the Mishnah on the bottom of Tzadi Mud Beis. Mishnah here is going to enumerate five different cases in which lichatchila wouldn't should not shecht Karban Pesach for these people, but b'dieved one would be yotze if one did so. First case of the Mishnah is an onen. Look at Rashi over here on the Mishnah. Rashi writes shemeitz mutal afanav. So we're talking about somebody who has one of his relatives who was nifter, and Rashi quotes the Gemara in Zvachim. As long as the relative was not buried, so the person has a halachic status of being an onen. Now, we'll discuss this in more detail in tomorrow's daf as well, but the basic idea is that min ha-Torah, somebody who is in the status of being an onen, is going to be disqualified from eating karbanas. He will not be able to eat karban. Kohen Gadol, notable exception, but nevertheless, for Stam, a regular Kohen, and for that matter, anybody else, he cannot eat karban on the Yom HaMisa, on the Day of Death. Now, the night that follows, so the Aninus does not extend for the night that follows. We will be discussing in much more detail tomorrow as to whether or not there is a rabbinic extension of Aninus for the night that follows. But in the meantime, however, Min HaTorah, the status of Onin only is for the day and not for the following night. As Rashi will point out over here in just a moment, for the Karban Pesach, the Chachamim would be prepared to waive the Aninus de Rabbanan so that the person can fulfill the mitzvah of Achilas Karban Pesach. So the first category is an Onen. Second one, as we are now in the top, it's on the Alpha and Aleph, HaMefakech is a Gal. Somebody is buried under rubble. Now, I say buried, I don't mean he's dead. In fact, we know that he was alive prior to the collapse of the house, but the house collapsed, and now we're trying to dig him up. And the Mishnah says that you are now in the process of trying to dig him up, and should you be shechting Karban Pesach for such an individual, meaning for the rescuer. So the Mishnah is, again, about to tell us that lechatchila you should not, but b'dieved, it would be fine, it would work. So third case in the Mishnah, v'chim eshihivtichuhu lotzi mibeis haserim, someone who was promised that he was going to be released from jail. V'hachol v'azakin, also somebody who is either sick or elderly, shehin yuchon le'achol kezayis, in the event that they could eat a kezayis, shochten alehen al kulam, and shochten alehen bifnei atzman. So, in all these cases, so one could shecht on behalf of every one of them. Now the Mishnah goes on to say, in shochten alehen bifnei atzman, now individually, meaning if the shechita is only being done on behalf of these people alone and are not part of a larger group of other people, so then the Mishnah says that lichatchila you shouldn't do it. Shema yaviu es ha-pesach l'dei psul. A real possibility that Karban Pesach will not be eaten, will not be consumed, and you're going to be shechting it for people who are not consumers. And as a result of that, the Karban Pesach itself is going to be disqualified. So, lefichachim eireh behem psul peturim melasas Pesach sheni. Now, if subsequently, after you do shechten on behalf of any one of these people, and then there's a psul that occurs subsequently, so then the Mishnah says that they do not have to bring Karban Pesach, because the assumption is that there was a moment of eligibility. From the time that we shechted the Karban Pesach to the time in which they, in fact, did become disqualified, so there was a moment of eligibility, and therefore the Karban Pesach does, in fact, the person gets a check for having brought the Karban Pesach, and therefore exempt from Pesach Sheni, with one notable exception, Chutz min Mifakech Begal, Shu Tamei Mitchilaso. Notable exception is the one who was trying to salvage, rescue the person buried underneath, where, under those circumstances, if in fact he discovers the person, and if Rachmanis, the person, was discovered to be dead, when he uncovers him, so then he is Tamei Mitchilaso, so we assume that the Tumah goes back to the well before the Shechitas Karban Pesach, which means to say that there was no moment of eligibility for such an individual. Okay. If we can, let's just take a moment to go over these five cases. The Gemara is going to discuss these cases just in a little bit more detail, but let's go over these cases. As far as the Onin is concerned, so let us clarify one point. As far as the Onin, the case of the Onin, it is obvious, but I'll state it, and that is that obviously he did not come into contact with his relative. Had he come into contact with his relative, then he'd be Tameh, and that would be Tumas Mason. Obviously, he would not be able to partake of the Karban Pesach, that Pesach Rishon. So obviously over here, the status of the Onin is talking about where the only status that he has is an Onin, meaning he lost a relative and somebody else is there to take care of the funeral arrangements. And again, as Rashi over here points out, Rashi says it very, very clearly in Dibra Maskel Shochten Alav, in that As we'll be discussing in more detail in tomorrow's daf, there is an idea, there is an opinion that aninus, as far as achilas kachim, is extended to the night after, but that's a din derabbanan, even for those who subscribe to it. It's a din derabbanan, and the chachamim would not normally extend it for the Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach, the eating of the Karban Pesach, failure to do so would result in an isakari, so the Chachamim waived it for the eating of the Karban Pesach. So that is just a detail regarding Onain. Mefakech es agal, the one who's trying to rescue, again, we know that the person was alive prior to the house caving in. Now the house caved in, or whatever, the tunnel caved in, whatever the case is, and now you're trying to dig him up. So the Mishnah says, obviously the concern now is that there comes a point in time where Rachmanis, the person did not survive, he's dead. And now as you're trying to dig him out, so you're going to be hovering directly over him, a transmission of Tumah, Tumah Soha. So the Mishnah at the end says that if you discover him to be, if he was discovered dead after he was dug out, so then we, even if a Karban Pesach was shechted on behalf of this individual, so we are going to assume that the Tumah Mitchilaso goes all the way back to even before the Karban Pesach was shechted. Now, that part is a little bit strange. Tosfos himself points out right over here. The general rule is that the person's alive, we have a chazakah, that when a person's alive, that chazakah continues. Now, over here, you really have two competing chazakahs. One chazakah is a chazakah mi'ikara. In other words, we know he was alive prior to the collapse of the building. We also know that currently he's dead. And that chazakah is chazakah dehashta. And so when I have these chazakahs competing with one another, what do we normally say? So Tosfos over here writes on the top of the Amud, Tema Larim, Mefakech Agal, Nami Neimach Chai Hava, Kishehizcha Lefakech. So Tosfos is basically asking, so which Chazakah is going to take precedence? For Yeshlamet, Dekeven Dematsu Meis, Islan Lamemer, Shemitchilaso Hayamesh, Kol HaTumos, Kishas Mitziasan. So Tosfos says that as far as when he was discovered dead, so therefore what we're going to do is that we're going to assume that was the Chazakah that we're going to move back in time, meaning that unidentified period between when we know he was alive versus now that we know he's dead. So the Chazakah Dehashta regarding Tumas Mace is the one that's going to be moved backwards. That's Tosfos' understanding. As far as the prison is concerned, we are going to be discussing that in a little bit more detail right now as we're about to start the Gemara. And Cholan Zakein, as we just learned together in the Mishnah, so clearly we're talking about somebody who is older and sicker, other way around, sicker and older, but obviously within a position where currently they could eat a kezias, meaning the hesitation with them is that they're not able to eat a full kezias of meat based on the fact that they're either infirmed or old, but right now they are of the firm belief that they are still able, they still have the necessary vigor to be able to eat a full kezias. And then, obviously, what the potential pitfall is that the Karban Pesach shechted for them, and they took a turn for the worse, and they weren't able to eat a full kezias. So Mishnah's point is that since at the time of the Shechita, they firmly believe that they could eat a kezias, so therefore the Shechita, at least b'dieva, would be a good Shechita. And again, in all the cases of the Mishnah, if they are part of a Chabura, and there are other members of the Chabura who are perfectly able to eat the Karban Pesach, so then obviously there'd be no hesitation to it whatsoever. We start with the Gemara, Amar Rava Baravun, Amar Rav Yochan, Loshanu Ela Beis Asurim Da Akum. When we say that you are promised that you were going to be released from jail, that was the third case of the Mishnah, so you keshecht a Karban on his behalf, So the Mishnah says that's true, but if you're the only person that we're shechting on behalf of, so the Mishnah says, so lichatchila one should shecht on that person's behalf. The Gemara now limits this halacha. That's only if the warden is not Jewish, meaning the jail is it's a non-Jewish jail, and the Jew happens to be right now incarcerated in that jail. But if the prison is a Jewish prison, so then even for that one individual by himself, as long as the Jewish warden promises that he's going to be released, so we are going to assume that he is in fact going to be released. Why? Look, the warden promised, and so therefore we know that he's good with his word. The pasuk says, pasuk in Sfanya describes how Jewish people are not going to lie. And if the warden tells you he's going to release you, he's going to release you. I understand that it's a little bit of a broad assumption that we're making, and empirically it's not always true, but the idea is that we assume that especially somebody who is part of the penal system, which is really it's part of the judicial system. So then we assume that if the one running it are Jews, so under those circumstances they're not going to lie. I'm Rav Chista Hadam Rav Beis Asrim Da'akon La'amar Ne'elachutz Chamas Beis Pagi. The Gemara also makes one other stipulation. Even if the court is a non-Jewish jail, so it's true that the that we wouldn't shachar Pesach on behalf of just the inmate, the Jewish inmate, aval lifnim mechamas beis pagi. But if the jail itself happens to be in Yerushalayim, so shochna lifnim asma my time efshar de amatu leva achulei. Because over there, simply, we'll say that even if he's not going to be released from jail, but the jail happens to be within the perimeter of Yerushalayim, and they could easily bring the Karban Pesach to him, and he'll just simply eat it while in jail. Okay, good. There is obviously a larger discussion to be had over here regarding incarceration. The Gemara over here has just taught us that there's something called the Jewish jail. And under certain circumstances, the warden, the jailer, could in fact be Jewish. And so what circumstances do we have incarceration? Really big topic in that as part of our penal system, do we have any form of incarceration? Presumably the answer is no. But on the other hand, we just learned together a distinction to be made between a Jewish jail versus a non-Jewish jail. So there's a really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes the following. Rashi is the second Rashi in the Gemara. Based on some Shayisra, Rashi writes, Kigon l'chofalo si isha psula. So Rashi gives a couple of examples in which we would incarcerate a fellow Jew. So one, says Rashi, a man refuses to give a get to a wife, and he needs to. And he's refusing to do so. A second example of Rashi, l'shalom mamon, or maybe the person owes money and he's not, he's just simply not paying. He's being difficult. He's just refusing to pay. Inami, Rashi also offers another possibility of when incarceration would be appropriate. So the Gemara in Ksuvas describes how you hit somebody, possibly you gave him a lethal blow. The Torah describes that if the victim were to die within 24 hours, so then we assume it's an act of murder. What do we do with the assailant? So what we do is we lock him up, we incarcerate him for those 24 hours. If in the event the person dies, so then we are going to, in fact, put the assailant to death. So Rashi gives three different examples of when incarceration would, in fact, be employed. Obviously, most of the time, our system of law does not include incarceration. Leficha chimira, we are back in the Gemara. So Amar Rava Barachana Amar Yochan Loshenu Ela Gal Agul. We're talking about the rescuer who's trying to dig up the person who was buried underneath, and we said that. We are going to assume that if the body was discovered dead, so then time of death is going to be pushed back to way before the Karban Pesach was actually offered. And so therefore, if the Karban Pesach is only shechted on behalf of this of the rescuer, so the Karban Pesach is going to be pasul. On that, the Rav Yochanan is going to make the following distinction. We're talking about where the rubble was circular. Meaning to say, not perfectly clear in terms of how to paint the picture over here, but the idea is that the rescuer, in order to start digging up, is necessarily going to have to hover over the rubble. However, gal aruch putter. But if the rubble is long and thin, and the rescuer can basically stand on the side and not have to hover over the rubble, so then it's very possible that he's not going to be directly over the mace, and therefore he's not going to be tamei. And the Gemara, I'm sorry, aruch patar basos pesach sheni. So a matar haya b'shas shchita, because at that point in time you can easily argue that he was tar at the time of shchita tayin namihachi, and now we have brisa that supports this distinction that was just taught to us by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broka Omer Mefakech Begal Itim Patar Itim Chayef, that if you are rescuing on erev Pesach, so sometimes you're going to be patar, sometimes you're going to be chayef. Ketzad gal agul v'nimses to matachtav chayef. So if it is a round mound that you are digging through and you discover tuma, so under those circumstances, you are going to be chayev, meaning to say that that you were for sure tame, and gal aruch you were for sure tame, and the karm pesach that was offered on your behalf is not going to work. It's not going to be good. You had no time of eligibility, and therefore you're going to be obligated to bring pesach sheni. However, gal aruch, but if it was a long rubble, it was thin, it was narrow, and you could be excavating from the sides. V'nim says to matachta potter, ematar ayah b'shash chita. Okay, exactly what Rav Yochanan said. This distinction between the kinds of rubble that you're trying to dig through in order to save the individual, and in the event that you didn't save him, but you discovered the remains. So, and when do we say you're chayv in Pesach Sheni versus when you're not chayv in Pesach Sheni? We are starting with the Mishnah here in the middle of Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins. Ein shochnis haPesach al yachid of Rav Yehuda. So Shitas Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah is that one is not allowed to shakar in Pesach for just one individual. One individual, no way, shape, or form, is going to be able to finish the entirety of the Karm Pesach. I could be wrong about that, but right, I'd like to assume that that just too much for one person. So, but Rav Yehuda says I don't think Nosar is what is motivating him. In fact, the Gemara coming up is going to indicate that it's not going to really be a function of the fact that there's definitely going to be Nosar, but rather just simply a function of the fact that he has a drasha, which we're going to see together in the Gemara, that teaches that according to Rav Yehuda, an individual cannot shakar in Pesach. Rav Yossi Matir. Rav Yossi says it'd be fine. Right? It's lonely chabura, just you. But nevertheless, according to Rav Yossi, you could check the Karm Pesach for one individual. And even if the chabura was made up of 100 people, no one of them could eat a kezai, so then you can't shecht upon him. Meaning, the Rav Yossi's point, as understood by Rashi, is that really the shechting of the Karm Pesach and the validity of the Karm Pesach is all going to be resting in contingent on whether or not somebody can eat a kezai. Whether or not there's going to be no star left over is not going to upset the validity of the karban. And even if I have a lot of people, the Mishnah over here says 100, who are all registered, but for whatever reason, not one of them can eat a kezias, so then you're not going to fulfill your obligation. So in order to fulfill the obligation of Karm Pesach, there must be at least one person who's going to be eating a kezias. And then the Mishnah concludes by saying that a chabur cannot be made up of women, slaves, and children. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain that in just a moment. Tanu Rabbanan. We start with a b'raisa. Minayin she'ein shochtin es haPesach al hayachid. Mishnah starts off with, how do I know that I cannot shach Karm Pesach for an individual? Tamar Lomar, lo suchal izbochas haPesach be'echad divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda takes the pasuk from Parshas Re'eh and really does not explain the pasuk kipshuto at all. It's a drasha, right? The pasuk in context is talking about how you're not allowed to shach the Karm Pesach outside of the area of Yerushalayim. But meanwhile, we're going to stop at the word be'echad, and it's not kipshuto, it's a drasha. Don't shech the Karm Pesach for a single individual. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda, based on the drasha that we just saw together. Rav Yossi, Omer Yachiv Yachol Echol, Shochtin Alava, Sarve Ein Yecholim Echol, Ein Shochtin Aleihem. Then the Braisa brings in the Shita of Rav Yossi, which we had in our Mishnah, that you're allowed to shech the Karm Pesach for one individual. And if you're shechting Karm Pesach on behalf of 10, and not one of them can eat a kezias, so you have not fulfilled your obligation. And you shouldn't shech for those individuals. V'Rav Yossi, hi, be'echad, my avilei. And so now the Gemara is going to go over its classic back and forth. What is each of the Tanaim going to do with the other pasuk? So what is Rav Yossi going to do with the pasuk of be'echad, mi ba'ilei lechad, Rabbi Shimon, detanya? So as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, Rav Yossi is going to understand that pasuk in Parshas Re'eh has nothing to do with the numbers of how many people are involved in the shechting or in Pesach, but it's all going to be a function of location. Detanya, we learned in a brayso, Rabbi Shimon Amar, minayin lezaveches pischo, somebody shechting Karm Pesach be'bamas yachid, on a private bama b'shas yisra bamas, when bamas are going to be prohibited. During the history of the Beis HaMikdash, let's go quickly. We're going to do this really quickly. From entering into Eretz Yisrael until and including the first Beis HaMikdash, so there were periods of time where private bamas were mutter, and there were periods of times where private bamas were also. The vast majority of that history, private bamas were also. Just basic Jewish history, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim to the building of the first Beis HaMikdash was 480 years. That's nearly five centuries before the Beis HaMikdash was built. So you just talk about the idea that we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. So it took nearly a half a millennia for that to happen. Okay, anyway, 480 years is the number given to us in the beginning of Sefer Malachim. We know with clarity. So anyway, so... But if we could take those 480 years and just break it up even further, the first 40 years was our wanderings through the desert. Then after that, 14 years in which we conquered and divided Eretz Yisrael. Then we set up a Mishkan in Shiloh. Mishkan Shiloh, 369 years, nearly 4 centuries. Then after Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, so we had temporary locations of a public bama that was in the towns of Nov and Givon, and then after that, then the Beis HaMikdash was built. The first Beis HaMikdash was built, lasting for 410 years. Anyway, in the sketch that I just outlined, so when is there going to be a heter of Bamas Yachid, of private bamas? When can we offer a carbon in our backyard? And the answer is going to be, there's only going to be 2 historical periods of time. During the 14 years upon entrance into Eretz Yisrael, and even though there was a public bama that was set up in Gilgal, nevertheless, during that time, we were allowed to offer a carbonus in our backyard. And also, between Mishkan Shiloh and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that was 50-plus years in total between Nov and Givon. So that, too, we were allowed to offer carbonus in our backyard. Bamas Yachid were allowed. So now, with all that stated, so Minayin, let's go back. Minayin Zaveches Pischu BeBamas Yachid. So let's say Yishachar and Pesach on a private Bama B'Shas Isra Bamos, at a time when there is Isra Bamos, Shuba Lo Sase. So how do I know that one is in violation of a Lo Sase? Tamal Omar, Lo Suchol Is Bochas HaPesach Bechat Sharecha. So good. So we have a drasha that tells us that one is violating a law. Yachal Bishas Heter Abamos Kane. Now, what about during Heter Abamos? Tamal Omar Bechat Sharecha. So no, the drasha is telling us Bechat Sharecha Lo Amarela Bishas Shekol Yisrael Nechnasim Bishar Echad. When there was one central location, so under those circumstances, there's going to be a law. But if there is no central location, so then there's not going to be a law. This is the drasha of Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara says that Rav Yossi agrees with Rabbi Shimon, and therefore Rav Yossi has a dedicated use of the word Echad. Of Rav Yossi, Haimanale. Now the Gemara. I made a mistake. V'Rav Yehuda, Haimanale. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, so how does he know this drasha? Meaning, the Gemara assumes that Rav Yehuda agrees with the drasha. So, but if he uses the word achad for his drasha, so then how is he going to learn this halacha? So Tartish Maminal. So the Gemara says, okay, he actually derives both points from this pasuk. Ula Rav Yossi Mimai De La Hachi Kamar Rav Shimon Demakada Kamar Rav Yehuda Hudasa. Now the Gemara says, now as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, how does Rav Yossi know that Rav Yehuda that Rabbi Shimon's interpreting the pasuk correctly? Maybe Rav Yehuda's interpreting the pasuk correctly. And Rashi points out over here, the Gemara's question is not a strong question, meaning Tanaim can argue with one another, and they just simply disagree vis-a-vis the understanding of Psukim and had a darshan. But as Rashi points out, really what we're doing is setting up for the next point, which the Gemara is about to make. As Rabbi Yossi is concerned, Rabbi Yossi knows for sure that you can shechar and Pesach for an individual. Let's go back to Shmos, Parshas Bo. The pasuk says Ish Lefi Achlo. So Ish Lefi Achlo tells me that one can be shechting Karban Pesach on behalf of an individual. So already that's the starting point. So that's why Rabbi Yossi says that, as far as the pasuk and Parshas Re'eh is concerned, the only drasha that we're going to get out from there is this idea of shechting Karban Pesach at a time when Bamas Yachid are prohibited. And what would be the liability in doing so? Good. Ramile Rav Ukvar Bar Chinna mi Paris na Larava miyam Rav Yehuda ain shechtin za Pesach ala Yachid. So Rav Yehuda's position is that you don't shechtin on Pesach over an individual, v'riminu. The Gemara says, okay, but we do have a Braisa, and the Braisa does not seem to indicate this. The Braisa says, Isha b'rishona shechtin aleha b'fnei atzma v'sheni osen osa tfeila le'acherim. Div Rav Yehuda. So vis-a-vis Pesach Rishon, so you can shecht a Karban Pesach on behalf of a woman. Now it says it in the singular, and that's why the Gemara for a moment is going to think that Rav Yehuda is being inconsistent. In a moment, we're going to clarify. But for a woman, one can shecht a Pesach Rishon, but v'sheni, for Pesach Sheni, you're not shechting a Karban Pesach, specifically Pesach Sheni, on behalf of a woman. She could be part of a group where the group is made up of men, and she could be part of it, and she could participate in the Pesach Sheni, but you cannot shech Pesach Sheni just on behalf of a woman alone. So, So the Gemara says, yeah, so the Brice that we just learned together, you're reading it too carefully and too critically. The point he's just simply making is that you could shech the Pesach Rishon even if the Chabur is made up just of women. And even though it says bifne atzma, really the way to understand is bifne atzman. So Amalei mi'avdina chabur shekula nashin. The Gemara says, wait 1 second, is that true? You can make a Karm Pesach just on a group made up of women, v'hatanan. What about the Mishnah that we just learned in today's daf? Enosin chabur nashin v'avanim v'katanim. So the Mishnah says that you cannot make Karm Pesach for women, slaves, and minors. Right now the Gemara is thinking that the prohibition of the Mishnah is even for each one of these groups individually. And the Gemara says, "My love, nashim lechudai, v'avadim lechudai, v'ketanim lechudayu." Ostensibly, that's what the Mishnah means. The Gemara immediately corrects. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. Amalei lo, nashim v'avadim v'ketanim, nashim v'avadim mishum tiflas. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, the Mishnah just simply does not want this kind of social interaction. Having a nashim and avadim, having a chabur for Karm Pesach, so that would lead to tiflas. The Rashi over here says, Avera, means to say that the women are going to be exploited by the Avadim. If we allow them to join in a Chabura, and they're going to have a lot of time spending together, so the Avadim are going to be taking advantage of the situation, taking advantage of the women. So that's why the Chachamim ban that. And Ketanim va'Avadim, Mishim Pritzusa. And now as far as Avadim and Ketanim are concerned, so that's an issue of Pritzus, meaning that the boys are going to be taken advantage of, and they're going to be, Rashi says, they're going to be sodomized. So that's something also that the Chachamim didn't want. So it's not the understanding of the Mishnah. What the Gemara assumed as a Havamina is that the Mishnah says that you can't have a Chabur of women. No, that's fine. What you can't have is a Chabur of women in conjunction with a Chabur of Avadim. You can't have a Chabur of Ketanim in conjunction with a Chabur of Avadim. That's what the Mishnah means. Gufa. Okay. As long as the topic of Shechting Karm Pesach, Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni for women came up. So the Gemara now is going to be using this opportunity to discuss it in greater detail. As we are going to learn together right now, there are three opinions on this matter about women and their obligation of Pesach, and specifically Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. We have alluded to this machlokas earlier in the Masechta, but here now, on Tzadi Alpha Mibes, we are going to be dealing with the Shitos straightforward. We're going to see the Brises, we're going to see the Drashas. We are going to have a primary look at the positions. Isha Barishon Shochtin Alad Bifne Atma, Uvashin Oso Tfel Alachem Divrev Yehuda. So we are going to be quoting the Brisa, but here on we're going to be quoting the Brisa in full. So first we start with the sheet of Rav Yehuda, which we already introduced to. So just a quick reintroduction. Rav Yehuda says that for Pesach Rishon, so women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, and therefore even if the group is made up just of women, you can shech Pesach Rishon on their behalf. Pesach Sheni, so they're not obligated, but they can opt into Pesach Sheni, which means that they could participate in a group for Pesach Sheni, but you can't shecht Pesach Sheni just for a group of women. That is all she does, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Isha b'sheni shochtin ala b'fnei atzma ve'ein tzarech lomar b'rishon. Shitas Rav Yossi is that women are obligated both in Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. You could shecht Pesach Sheni on behalf of just women, and it goes without saying that you could shecht Pesach Rishon on just behalf of women, on behalf of just women. And Rabbi Shimon Omer, Isha b'rishon osin osot fel al achirim. Now Rabbi Shimon's position over here is regarding women and their obligation of Karm Pesach. So it is by far in a way the loosest connection between women and the mitzvah of Karm Pesach. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, Isha Barishon Osa Osan Tfela Lacherim, for Pesach Rishon, so you cannot shech Karm Pesach on behalf of women in of themselves. They can participate in a group, eat the Karm Pesach in a group, but they themselves cannot be the sole parties of the of this Karm Pesach. And B'sheni Yishochtin Alei Kol Ikar, now as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, so women cannot participate at all in Pesach Sheni, not even as part of a group. Mimaika Miflagi. The Gemara now is going to take us through the drashas. Rabbi Yehuda Savra Mimechsas Nefashos Vafil Anashim. When the Torah first introduces us to Karm Pesach, it says Mechsas Nefashos, which means that it is an all-inclusive term. Anyone who has a nefesh, men and women, are going to be obligated to bring Karm Pesach. So why doesn't that also cover Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni really is just a makeup for Pesach Rishon. If women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, it should stand to reason. They're obligated in Pesach Sheni as well. So Ksiv Cheto Yisah Ha'ish Hahu. So for this, Rav Yehuda has a drasha. The pasuk regarding Pesach Sheni says that he's going to bear his sin, ha-ish hahu, this man, ish in ishalo, which means to say that Pesach Sheni is primarily instituted for men. So if that's true, and we're saying that women are just simply excluded from Pesach Sheni, so why do we say that they can participate as part of a group? So the Gemara says, so if you look again back in Parshas Baaloscha, as the Torah describes Pesach Sheni, it says that the halachas regarding Pesach Sheni are going to be just like Pesach Rishon. Now, we know it's not identical because Pesach Sheni, women are not obligated, but in the very least, it tells us that women can at least participate in Pesach Sheni. That's what the Kochol Chukas HaPesach is coming to include. That is all the drasha is understood by Rabbi Yehuda. Now we move to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, my time dechsi berishon mechsas nefashos ve'afilu isha. So that we're going to have the same starting point for Rabbi Yossi. Mechsas nefashos comes to tell me that women are obligated in Pesach. Now Pesach Rishon ve'afilu isha uksibe Pesach Sheni v'nechrosa nefesh ahim Yisrael nefesh ve'afilu nashim. So, and as far as Pesach Sheni is concerned, failure to bring Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni results in kares. And the Torah in Parshas Baaloscha says, "Hanefesh ahi nefesh includes women as well." So, ve'elacheto yisah ha'isha hu lemutemai. So, if that's true, then what are we going to do with the pasuk of cheto yisah ha'isha hu, which for Rabbi Yehuda was the drasha that excluded women from Pesach Sheni? Clearly, Rabbi Yossi doesn't subscribe to that. What does he do with that? So, lemute katam ikares. So, that's coming to teach me that a katan is not going to be subject to the kares penalty. Now, that drasha is really difficult to understand. We have a drasha that tells us that minors are going to be excluded from kares. Minors are not obligated in the mitzvah. Minors are not obligated in any mitzvah. So, the idea that I need a drasha to tell me that they're not going to receive kares, obviously, that's really difficult to understand. The Gemara does not elaborate on this point at all. So funny, Rashi over here is simply not bothered. It's such an obvious point, an obvious difficulty. Anyway, Tosas over here is bothered. Second Tosas on the Amud, Ish v'lo katan tema. So amai itzrich the echem asina shechayv katan b'mitzvos. Where katan minors are obligated in mitzvos, and I need a drasha to exclude them from the kares for failure to bring karm Pesach. So obviously that's strange. See Tosos for possible suggestions. Really interesting Tosos, but we're going to go on in the Gemara. But see Tosos over there for a possible suggestion of how to understand the drasha over here. V'Rabbi Shimon Ksiv. We're back in the Gemara now. We're up to the third opinion of these three Tanaim. Rabbi Shimon says that women can only participate in Pesach Rishon. You cannot have a Pesach Rishon just for a group of women. And he says for Pesach Sheni, women cannot be included at all. So this position of Rabbi Shimon, where is that coming from? So Rabbi Shimon Ksiv Rishon Ish 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 In Ish Alo. So as far as Pesach Rishon is concerned, the Torah says the word Ish. Later, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, where? But we'll come back to that. So the Gemara says, okay, so then women can't even participate in Pesach Rishon, right? Well, we know Rabbi Shimon says they can participate. So ahani lebe mechsas nefashos l'tfela. Okay, so mechsas nefashos, according to Rabbi Shimon, tells me that at least they can participate in Karm Pesach. V'chitem afilu b'shem anami miyed rechmana b'sheni. Now, what about Pesach Sheni? So they are totally excluded. D'chsiv cheto yisah ish in ishalo. So as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so he, like Rav Yehuda, understands that the mention of the word ish by Pesach Sheni is there to exclude. Now keep in mind that according to Rabbi Shimon, so the exclusion actually drops her down one level. Meaning as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, for Pesach Rishon, she can only participate, but she's not obligated. So now that means that for Pesach Sheni, so that ish it reduces her one level, which means that she can't even participate. Now, the Gemara makes exactly this point. What is the exclusion for Pesach Sheni? So for Pesach Rishon, according to Rabbi Shimon, she's not even obligated. So the exclusion, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, is that she can't even participate. Okay, good. My ishtakama Rabbi Shimon. Now, for Pesach Rishon, what did Rabbi Shimon espouse? That because the Torah says the word ish, so that means to say that the Pesach is only an obligation on the man, not on the woman, for Pesach Rishon. What ish are we talking about? In name of Yichulahem ish selaves avos. So the Gemara now attempts to locate the pasuk that tells me that ish is mentioned specifically to Pesach Rishon. So the Gemara nominates the pasuk of selaves avos. I'm sorry, Vaykulahem ish selaves avos selabai. So the Gemara says no. Homi bai leilichad Rav Yitzchak. No. Gemara immediately rejects that because we know that this pasuk is there to teach us a different point. Da'amar ish zocha vein katan zocha. As far as who can create a zechi on behalf of others, so a man can, but a katan can. That's what we learn from that pasuk. Interesting Rashi over here, ish zocha. You look at the end of the Rashi. Rashi says v'yichu ish selaves avos ve'in katan zocha de'in na'ase shliach. The idea that Rashi invokes the idea of shlichus over here certainly sounds like from Rashi that the idea of zechiah that the Gemara over here is promoting and the idea of shlichus are one in the same. Meaning when we say zachen la'adam, so according to Rashi, seemingly, according to Rashi, that really is just a function of shlichus. Okay. More to discuss about that, but again, just highlighting a Rashi over here. The Ella, so we're looking for an ish mentioned the pasuk according to Rabbi Shimon that tells me that men are obligated in Karban Pesach and not women. So the Ella mi ish lefi achlo. So the Gemara says, okay, ish lefi achlo, right? So the Gemara says, no. Hamid Rav Yosef Sevelak Rabbi Shimon. Go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Remember that Rav Yosef subscribed to Rabbi Shimon regarding how to darshan the pasuk echad. So Rabbi Shimon nami Sevelak Rabbi Yosef, which presumably would mean that Rabbi Shimon agrees with Rabbi Yosef. And therefore the ish lefi achlo, that was there to teach me that you can shechkar Pesach even on behalf of an individual. And so therefore that pasuk is already also spoken for. So amlecha, so the Gemara says, no, maybe this pasuk really is the source. Because im kein nechta rechman lefi achlo my ish shma min atarte. So the Gemara says, yeah. So we could say this as follows. Lefi achlo is coming to tell me that you can shechkar Pesach for an individual. And the ish over there, as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, is there to give me the additional point that men are chayv in karm Pesach and not women. So kamanas lahadam Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, okay. Now we have a following statement by Rabbi Lazar. Isha b'rishon chova uvishen rishos. V'doches HaShabbos. So a woman is obligated for Pesach Rishon, but is going to only be able to opt into Pesach Sheni, not obligate in Pesach Sheni, and it overrides the Shabbos. Now, those statements strung together in the sequence in which it's presented is difficult. E Rishos Amai Doches HaShabbos. Wait one second. If Pesach Sheni is just an option, so it can't override the Shabbos, only an obligation can override the Shabbos. Ela Ema, so the Gemara says, fine, we're just going to have to tweak the statement. B'Sheni Rishos Rishon Chova. So Sheni is a Rishos, Rishon is a Chova, and now Dochas a Shabbos. And Rishon, which is an obligation, is going to override the Shabbos. Good. Keman ke Rebbe Yehuda, so the Gemara says, good. And that's going like Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda is the one that has women obligated in Pesach Rishon, and only optional for Pesach Sheni. I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Yochanan, Ein Osin, Chabur Shekula Gerim, Shami Daktiku, Bo, V'Yavu L'Dei Pso. To make a Chabur made up just strictly of converts, so Rav Yochanan says don't do it, because what they're going to do is they're going to be so medactic in terms of looking for disqualifications. They're going to needlessly disqualify Karban Pesach, and there was no right, and there was no need to do so, and they're just going to be really machmir upon themselves. The Gemara does confuse us in terms of its attitude regarding Gerim and their commitment to Halacha. Tosos makes this point over here, last Tosos on the Amud. Other Gemaras seem to indicate that the Gerim are not as careful in Halacha. Over here, our Gemara seems to state very clearly that not only are they careful with Halacha, they are they're Machmir. Admittedly, overly Machmir in themselves, but our Gemara over here certainly puts them in the light of being really careful with Halacha. Okay. See the Bam Tosus for a short discussion. Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to continue in the Gemara. One more brisa to go through in today's daf. Pesach Matzah Amar Rishon Chovah Mikan Ve'elach Rishos. So as far as Pesach Matzah Amar is concerned, so for Rishon, obligated. From that point going forward, optional. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ba'anashim Chovah V'anashim Rishos. And Rabbi Shimon says that for men it's an obligation, for women it is an option. Now, all this needs a clarification. This brisa over here is really terse and really difficult to decipher. Ahaya kai. So what are we talking about over here? Ilema Pesach. So are we talking about the Karban Pesach? Pesach Kol Sheva Mi'ika? I don't understand. The Pesach is only an obligation the first night. There is no obligation of Pesach beyond the first night of Pesach. Ve'ela matzah marah. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're talking about matzah marah, right? So I'm a safer. The Gemara says, yeah, but let's just read on in the Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ba'anashim Chovem V'Nashim Rishos. Then Rabbi Shimon says that men are obligated, women are exempt, and if we're talking about matzah, that's impossible to understand. So Leisei LeRabbi Shimon Hadam Rabbi Lazar. So what is Rabbi Shimon just rejecting a halacha set over by Rabbi Lazar? We saw it earlier in the Masechta. We're going to get to see it again right now. And that is the idea that women are obligated in matzah despite the fact that it's a mitzvah essay, Shazman Grama. Nashim chayavos ba'achilas matzah dvar Torah. It is a mitzvah in the Torah for women to eat matzah on Pesach. Shenemar lo socha lav chametz, shevas yamim tocha lav matzos, kol sheyeshno, beval tocho chametz yeshno bekum echol matzah. So there is a clear correlation between the isser of chametz and the mitzvah of matzah. Hani nashim hol v'yeshno beval tocho chametz yeshno bekum echol matzah. Women are included in the Isser Chametz, therefore, they are obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. So, and the Gemara is assuming right now that nobody's arguing on this point, and that everyone agrees that women are chayv in the mitzvah of matzah. So that cannot be the correct way to understand the Braisa, Ella. So the Gemara gives now a final explanation of the Braisa, Ella, Ema, Pesach, Matzah, or Maror, Berishon Chova. So, as far as now, a better understanding of the Braisa, so the mitzvah of Pesach together with matzah maror on Rishon is going to be a chova mikan ve'elach rishos. And as Rashi points out over here, our current, and this is going to be our final understanding of the Braisa, Rashi writes, Hachi kamar, Pesach matzah maror berishon chova mikan ve'elach rishos ve'kai hai mikan ve'elach amatzah maror. So when we are talking about mikan ve'elach, we are talking about matzah maror. Good. Meaning, the first night is Pesach Matzah Marah. From that point going forward, it's going to be just Matzah Marah. Now, when Rabbi Shimon brings his dissenting opinion, Rashi over here points out, Rabbi Shimon is just going on the Karm Pesach, not Matzah Marah. Because again, by matzah, everyone agrees that women are obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. Let's go back. Let's see that again inside. So, Ela Ema Pesach Matzah Marah Berishon Chova Mikan Ve'elach Rishos. Again, Mikan Ve'elach is only going on the matzah and the maror, and then Rabbi Shimon Omer Pesach b'anashim chova b'anashim rishos. And Rabbi Shimon says, as far as the Karban Pesach is concerned, on the first night, so that is an obligation, but only for men, not for women. And this, of course, is Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso, meaning go back to the top of the Amud, you'll see Rabbi Shimon's position is that the Karban Pesach women are not obligated in the Karban Pesach, and so therefore this Rabbi Shimon that we just learned together coordinates with the shita Rabbi Shimon l'shitaso, who says that women are not obligated in Karban Pesach. They can opt into the Karban Pesach, but they're not obligated in Karban Pesach. Good. We have an opportunity now to quickly review the daf. We started the following. The Mishnah that opens up our daf talks about five people where currently they could be eating Karban Pesach, but because of their particular positions, so it's a little bit precarious, and we are worried that they may not be fit to eat the Karban Pesach that night. And so therefore what one should do is should include them as part of a group, but not shach the Karban Pesach on just them and them alone. B'di'evit, if you do so, it would be okay, with notable exception to the case of the person who is trying to rescue somebody from the rubble, where if discovered dead, so we assume that the rescuer now is tamei, going back to even before when the Karban Pesach was shachted. The other four cases of the Mishnah is the onein, and the somebody was promised to be released out of jail, and a chola and a zaken. Good. The Gemara made a distinction between someone who was incarcerated by Jews, someone who was incarcerated by non-Jews. Jewish warden, when he tells you that you're going to get a furlough, so the Gemara says you can rest assured that he's telling you the truth. Non-Jewish warden, not so much. The Gemara also made a distinction in terms of being excavated from a pile, and when discovering the body to be dead, so the guarantee that you in fact were tamei. So the Gemara made a distinction between the different types of piles: circular pile versus a thin narrow pile. Basically, the idea is that if you didn't have to excavate hovering over the pile, so then there is a chance that you're not tamei. The next Mishnah brings down a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi as to whether or not you can shach the Karban Pesach for a single individual. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot. Rabbi Yossi says that you can. Rabbi Yossi says the chief factor component of a Karban Pesach is that somebody can eat a kezias of the Karban Pesach, and that's all you need. So for that one individual who probably he's not going to be eating the entire Karban Pesach, but as long as he can eat a kezias, so then you could shech the Karban Pesach for such an individual. As far as the sheet of Rav Yehuda is concerned, so that is a drasha. That's what the Gemara taught us with a brisa. The Gemara does its classic back and forth, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. So Rav Yehuda has a drasha. What does Rav Yossi do with that pasuk? And so the Gemara goes through its classic back and forth. On the Amud Beis of today's daf, of Sadi Aleph. So Gemara introduces us to the women's relationship to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Are they obligated? So there are three opinions amongst the Tanaim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon. Quickly running through the opinions, Rabbi Yehuda says that women are obligated in Pesach Rishon and can participate voluntarily, but are not obligated in Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Yossi says that women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, but women are also obligated in Pesach Sheni, obviously in the event that they didn't bring Pesach Rishon. Rabbi Shimon's position is that women are not obligated in Pesach Rishon. They could participate in Pesach Rishon, but you cannot shecht on behalf of just a group of women, according to Rabbi Shimon. And for Pesach Sheni, they are totally excluded from Pesach Sheni. They cannot participate at all. The Amud Beis takes us through the drushas that give us the basis for the positions of all three Tanayim. And then the end of the daf, well, we quoted a couple of brises. One, about a chabura of Gerim. Rav Yochanan says it does not endorse shechting Karban Pesach for a group of Gerim. They're just simply going to be too machmir. They're going to disqualify the Karban. The last brisa that we covered was regarding Pesach Matzah Maror, where the first night's an obligation, and from that point going forward for the remainder of Yontif, it is optional. What's optional? So as the Gemara clarified, it's talking about just simply matzah and maror, but not the Karban Pesach. Obviously, after the first night, there is no mitzvah for Karban Pesach. So matzah maror is optional from that point going forward. And then Rabbi Shimon in the Brisa says that women, for women, there is no obligation. That's going back to Karban Pesach. And it's Rabbi Shimon Lashitaso, as we established at the top of the Amud.